everybody, and welcome to a very special live edition of Spotlight Series. My name is Josh Chernoff, and my guest today is the creator of StarCast, the pod father, the one and only Mr. Conrad Thompson. Conrad, thank you for being here.
Josh, thanks for having me, man. Oh, thank you guys very much, and thanks for everybody tuning in to StarCast on Premiere, man.
And we are excited. We are we're a little into day two here.
Yeah.
Day one was crazy. I mean, Tony Khan on stage,
holding a Premiere microphone.
That was fun to watch. Yeah.
World.
That was fun. But just so much. How about last night here? I don't know if you've been running around, so I don't know if you had an opportunity to see it, but I'm sure you heard about it. The game event with Efren, I think, stole the whole weekend so far.
That's what I've heard over and over and over. Somebody said, you know, this is my sixth StarCast. That's the best panel I've ever seen at StarCast. And they suggested we make it an annual event. And I said, how about we make it an every time we do a StarCast event? So, yeah, Efren's the man.
I like that. I like how that sounds. And you know what? You mentioned StarCast. I mentioned StarCast. We're here at StarCast. So, hey, let's talk StarCast.
Okay, let's do it.
My main notes here. There we go.
There you go.
Dave Silva.
Yes. One of my favorite topics.
Yeah. Man. No, I love Dave Silva. Dave Silva's great. You have an incredible team that you've put together behind the scenes. They don't get enough love.
I agree.
Chris McDonald's done amazing work with the videos. There is, I mean, I've named two people, and now I've just pissed off everybody else. But
well, I mean, listen, we've got the Marines and the Pats and the Wesleys and the Derricks and the Daves and the other Daves. And the
well, that's a great
Dave.
Thing. You just say, hey, Dave does an amazing
that's about
job.
Three quarters of the team. Yeah, Daves. No, we've got a lot of real heroes, though. Hancock's always ran our social for us. Silva's done a lot of our graphics for us. Chris has done all of our videos for us. Steve has helped wrangle talent, Marine runs all the vendor stuff and all the logistics and ticketing, and Marine's sort of the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, literally. Yeah.
We were talking before we went on air here. We were talking about 5 years ago.
Yes.
To the day we were here 5 years ago.
Yes.
And I remember, I believe on this exact stage in this room, we had Cody Rhodes walked on stage as the brand new NWA World Champion. And that was a huge thing for StarCast to have that part of All In. AEW didn't exist. AEW, I mean, I think we've learned at this point that AEW was certainly in the minds of some people around that time.
Yes.
Obviously, Tony Khan had been, this was something, he didn't just wake up one day and say, I want to have a wrestling company. That's something he'd been really thinking about and looking at that proof of concept, so to speak. For you, starting, I want to go back to how this came to be, StarCast in general, the idea of it. Then we'll talk how it's changed a bit, but I also want to talk about the changes of StarCast 1 being with All In, this monumental event, this huge, the biggest indie show of all time.
Yes.
So different than what StarCast has become in a lot of ways, but also the same. So talk me through, I kind of just went in circles there, but talk me through how the idea came about for the first StarCast.
Well, they used to do an NWA Legends Fan Fest, Greg Price did, in Charlotte every year. And I had a lot of fun with my friends there over the years, and then it came out that he was not going to be coming back. Like, that was the end. So there was an available weekend that weekend in Charlotte, and I thought, man, there's a lot of, you know, family members and friends who only get together around these events. It's more than just the event. It's all the connections that these folks make. So I thought, man, there might be an opportunity here to do a convention that weekend in that building. So that was really the first idea, and I thought, hey, maybe the idea is, rather than just Bruce and I going out and doing live shows, what if we created like a wrestling podcast convention. So it's just one panel after another of these guys doing their shows, and then they could do like joint stuff together because these guys don't normally get together. At the time, Kevin Sullivan had a podcast and Cornette had a podcast, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, okay, that could be the idea, is let's just put everybody together, do a wrestling podcast convention. And then randomly, I'm coming back from Mexico and Cody's coming back from Japan, and we ran into each other at the International Baggage Claim. And we just started messaging back and forth, and I said, hey, man, I got an idea. What if this show you're putting together with the Bucks what if we did a convention around it? So, like, you're going to have someone come try to piggyback your wrestling show. So what if we acted as, like, your WrestleCon? And he said, do you have, you know, something you could show me? I want to be able to show the guys, talking about the Bucks. So I put together a proposal of ideas and hypothetical panels, emailed it over to Cody. He emailed it to Matt and Nick. And the next day he said, hey, man, we're in. So we started looking, and we found this hotel, and the Hyatt Regency in Schaumburg has just been a day one partner for us. And we learned a lot that first year, and I thought, and I said on this same stage, never again will I ever do this. But then when AEW did become a thing, Tony Khan said, hey, what are you doing next Wednesday? And he asked me to come down to Jacksonville, and we announced the creation of AEW in the parking lot. And, you know, I sort of got the, hey, we want to announce the show, but we really would like to have you do another StarCast, which I didn't want to do, but I also didn't want to say no. And it was so exciting. I can't believe this is really happening. So we did our second one in Vegas, and then they said, hey, we're coming back to Chicago, and I knew this hotel, so that was easy. So we did a third one, and I thought, okay, well, this is it. And then Tony said, hypothetically, could you do one in Baltimore? So we did it again. And then five was totally different last year. It was no AEW affiliation whatsoever. And we just sort of piggybacked WWE SummerSlam and promoted our first wrestling event and our closed last match. And then I knew that this was going to be a logistical issue for them to, because they normally do AEW Fan Fest here, but I knew the week prior they're going to be in London. So support, would they have enough time to do both, really be in two places at once? So I pitched them on this idea in February, and we locked it down the last few days of June, and very quickly put together StarCast 6, and here we are.
I'm glad. Yes, please. That was Ricky Starks who started that clap. Thank you so much.
I was like, that's a familiar voice.
Yeah.
I did a double clap. Oh, wow. Okay.
Man.
Isn't he suspended?
He is suspended.
But not from StarCast. Not from StarCast.
You're always welcome.
Give that man an all-access pass.
There we go.
That's fine.
You mentioned the different shows I have here. From the first one, when you swore it would never happen again.
Yes, yes.
8 months later, you had your second one. We understand why. 3 months later, you had the third one.
Hey, we got CM Punk back into wrestling. I'm
Which,
just saying.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really big accomplishment. By the way, if you want to check that out, you can watch that show as part of your Premier Plus subscription. Right now, it's available. Oh, and by the way, if you're watching this, you can use that promo code and get 2 months free of Premier Plus. So, enjoy. So that was 3 months later with StarCast 3, 2 months later, StarCast 4, and then obviously the pandemic hit, and it was 2.5 years before we were back again. Did you worry at any point in time that you were pretty much, you know, StarCast, the first one's monumental, this to use a term.
Woodstock.
It was, right. Did you worry, like, okay, well, you can't really do Woodstock, like, you know, every 20 minutes. Yeah,
right.
So did you worry about that, or did you know, like, I guess what I'm asking is there was a different design for each one, right? Different theme for
yeah.
each StarCast. Was that by design, or was that kind of because you said, all right, we can't just do StarCast again? So StarCast 2 has to have a totally different theme. StarCast 3 has to have a totally different theme. Was that kind of the idea, since you knew they were so close together?
Well, I knew, I mean, when I'm creating content for podcasts or conventions, it's got to be something that I can get excited about. Like, if I couldn't sell it to me, then I don't want to do it. So if, you know, like we had Rob Van Dam do a panel discussion. Are you kidding? The 1997, 98, 99 fan of me is so excited about that. And on the way in here, I just bump into Jake the Snake Roberts. It's like, dude, yes, I want to hear these guys tell their story. So if I can get excited about it, then we'll do it. And that's what I've tried to do when we structured any of these StarCasts. Like, what would I pay to see?
Right.
And if I would pay to see it, I feel like other people will too.
So you also mentioned, I had here, 4 StarCasts have been with AEW. 1 has been with
I mean, the first one wasn't AEW.
No, I'm saying, one
counting
All In.
This one.
Right, one All In, counting this one. You've been it's been associated with AEW
yes.
in some form for 4 of them, and then 1 was WWE adjacent. Obviously, AEW, I think going back to All In, there is a synergy between what you do and AEW, and it's something that we at Premier really enjoyed, because one thing that we like to do is champion independent content creators.
Yes.
We have the largest curated library of independent pro wrestling in the world. We're very proud of it. You know that because I've been talking about it nonstop for the last day. But that's something that if you look at AEW, yeah, it's this massive company now, but the genesis of it was really as independent
could be. Yeah, three guys.
And if you look at StarCast and you look at the, you know, podcast empire that you've built with ad-free shows, that again was also as independent can be.
Yes.
That was you, really just you and a buddy talking about what happened when, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that I love to see how this has grown. And I think we have, you know, the audience that is here and comes back and loves this is because, you know, this is for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. You talked about you picked these shows because what would I want to see as a fan?
Yes.
You've had times, obviously, you eventually were able to deliver on that roast to Ric Flair. Unfortunately, obviously, it had to be delayed. Was there ever something that you had in mind that just, for whatever reason, wasn't able to happen, but that was just, that you just, this was your stage show that you really wanted to have? Or have you been able to pretty much check off every box that you've been wanting to do?
Well, I mean, listen, I was thrilled that we were able to do something with Muta. I'm thrilled that Kawada's here. I mean, I've taken exactly one picture this weekend, and it was with Kawada. I mean, it's his first trip here in over 35 years. So, though, I mean, getting Sting in the red, white, and blue jacket, that was awesome. I mean, the ones that got away, obviously, I wish that, you know, we would have actually been able to fulfill our signed contract where we sent the deposit over for The Undertaker. The Undertaker out of StarCast would have been pretty cool. We also had, once upon a time, an agreement, you know, at least in principle, we thought we had all the details worked out, to have Sean and Razor on stage talking about the anniversary of that fabulous ladder match. And that was supposed to happen in 2019, and then when they found out it was AEW adjacent, WWE didn't want Sean to do that, which I get. But those are probably the only two that sort of got away that I wish we could have done.
Is there something that you have, and you probably don't want to tell us, but is there, you don't have to tell us what it is, but is there something that you have that hasn't gotten away, something that's in your mind where you go, it's not going to happen to this StarCast, might not happen to the next StarCast, but one of these days, this is my white whale, I'm going to get this. Do you have something in your mind?
Well, that became really hard because, you know, like for StarCast 2, we tried to do the roast of Ric Flair and The Undertaker. Those were the two things I was hanging my hat on. And then Rick wound up in the hospital, and WWE pulled Undertaker. So three, I felt like, man, I got to redeem myself. So we got CM Punk to do something wrestling-related for the first time in forever. So that was really cool. And then for four, I thought, man, if I could get Sting in the red, white, and blue in Baltimore where he won the world title, and Muta and Moxley, those are cool. But, man, the big white whale of the convention business was Jim Crockett Jr., and I got him. So the idea that I got that, but for five, it's like, man, who else is there left to go discover and get? So we came up with Ric Flair's last match, and I know that became a meme where people just assume I'm going to get in the last match business. But after you've done the last match of Ric Flair, respectfully, where do you go?
Right.
Like, there's no suitable follow-up act for that, really. So I probably won't do another last match type thing, but I mean, I think the next thing is probably another wrestling show. You know, I mean, I don't aim to be a wrestling promoter, but with the right story and the right combination of talent, I think we could do something pretty fun. But I don't really know what that is right now. So I don't want to say, well, here's what I'd like to do, because I don't really have that mapped out. But one more wrestling show could be fun.
So we talked a little bit in the beginning about the team that you have. And it's not as – I think fans might look at it and say, okay, there's this – massive team behind StarCast because of what this is, but it really isn't that massive. It is just a handful of people just working their asses off to make this happen. How did you, when the first StarCast was coming along, how did you put this team together, and how has it grown from the first StarCast to StarCast 6?
Well, we had a lot of our podcast folks working on it. So guys like Dave Silva and Chris McDonald, they helped me on a weekly basis through the pods. So that was kind of easy. We needed help running, like, convention space, vendor space, meet and greets. So, you know, what do? You try to call the experts. So I called Michael Bakicchio, who's run WrestleCon forever and ever and ever, And I said, hey, man, I need some help with this. Who can help me organize it? And he put me with Maureen Tracy. And Maureen has sort of been the secret sauce of making sure that that vendor room and customer service and all of that stuff gets handled. And then Dave Hancock, he helped us on some of the podcast stuff, and he's ran our social. So the biggest first sort of outside the tent team acquisition, I guess, would be Maureen. But then along the way, you know, like last year was my first year working with CK. He's got a talent agency called Paragon, and he's got a lot of connections in the wrestling space, and he's helping us handle some of the talent logistics. And once upon a time, me and you were both wearing different jerseys, and we've come on over to the dark side, if you will, and excited to be here.
Oh, very, very excited to have you here. We're excited to have StarCast on premiere. Again, you can go right now, since you bought StarCast, you're watching this because you ordered the bundle. We really do appreciate that, and as a thank you, we are giving you 2 free months, absolutely free, to have Premiere Plus and browse our entire library. You will not be disappointed. I'm very proud of what we've been able to put together with our team. And I love, our team loves working with your team. It's been great. I want to shift gears. We have this thing sitting here in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
I want to shift gears for a minute. Before we get to this, this is a championship belt. I was going to say this is a belt, but Matt Cardona yells at me that it's a championship.
It is a championship.
Obviously, everybody knows you're the belt collector. You have some of the greatest pieces of history in professional wrestling ever. Actually, right next door, have them. If you've paid the right amount, I guess you can go in there and pick them up and take a picture with them. Which is an amazing thing. And that kind of goes back to, you talked about, you walked in, you bump in the Jake the Snake, and these amazing experiences that you get to have now, that you kind of take a step back and pinch yourself, right?
Because yes,
it can be a job, and these can be coworkers, but sometimes you do want to step back and go, oh, wow, that's Jake the Snake.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, what I think StarCast has provided for fans is, there was a time, I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, I always loved wrestling belts, always loved them. Never in a million years did I see a scenario where I would hold the big gold
right
in my hands, or the big eagle, or intercontinental title that Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man had.
Yeah.
It just was, it wasn't even a, oh man, if only one day. It wasn't even in there. It was just, no, obviously you're never really going to be able to hold the big gold. And you've given that to people.
Yes.
Literally given your property for people to hold, which is incredible. And I think that should be celebrated, because it's a, you know, there's a show on A&E that talks about how they want to take all of these things to show to the world so everyone can see them. And
we're doing it.
It's an amazing thing, but I was going to say, but you're doing it.
Yes.
You're actually doing it. So thank you for that. When did you first decide, I'm going to collect wrestling belts?
Well, it's a weird thing. You know, I was going through eBay. I was in Vegas for a UFC at the end of the year. You know, they used to do them around New Year's, but not on New Year's. So I went out there with some buddies, and as we're getting ready to go to the fights, I'm just scrolling eBay on my iPad, and I saw an actual Ric Flair robe. Not like a replica one, but one he wore on TV back in the day.
And I thought, do you remember which one it was?
It was the orange one from the first Nitro against Sting.
Oh, okay.
I think he wore it at like Beach Blast 93 when he won his 10th world title from Barry Windham. And I knew it was in the WWF and TNA. He wore it a bunch. There's a lot of promo photos and licensed stuff out there of him with that. Anyway, I saw the robe and thought, man, wouldn't that be awesome? That would be like, if you're a music fan, it would be like owning one of Elvis's jumpsuits. That'd be awesome. So I really wanted to get it. But then once I actually negotiated and got it, it's like, what the hell do I do with this thing? You know, I was so focused on getting it that I never really thought about, how do you display a wrestling robe in your house? That's weird. But it also felt weird to just hang it in my closet, like I'm going to wear it to work tomorrow or something. So I didn't know what to do. So I started to take some suggestions from people, and they came up with, hey, you should just get like, because I didn't know they made this, but you can get like a more muscled up version of a mannequin, like you'd see in a sporting goods store. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I didn't think about that. But then there's this idea of having a mannequin in your house is kind of weird, too. I don't know. And then somebody suggested, well, just, like, put the belt on him or something. And I thought, okay, well, that's a decent idea. I can display it with a belt, so then you kind of understand what this is. So I just Googled and found Dave Milliken's website. he made what I felt like was the best looking 10 pounds of gold and big gold belt. So I ordered one of each. And a few days later, I'm just checking out his website. He's got a bunch of photos, and I see a nameplate there. And I messaged him, and I said, is this the real Ric Flair nameplate? And he replied, it is. And I said, that's off the actual big gold belt. And he said, it is. I said, well, man, I'd love to buy it, hypothetically, if it's for sale. And he said, well, my friend has it, and he'll never sell it. I said, okay, well, hypothetically, if he does, I'd be a buyer at blank. And so 2 days later, he goes, well, apparently never is today. He would love to sell that nameplate to you. So I got the nameplate from Dick Bourne, who runs Mid-Atlantic Gateway and has written a bunch of fabulous books. And he said, hey, I just have one request before I sell this to you. If we ever get a chance to photograph the big gold belt, I would love to do a book about the big gold belt. Will you loan me the nameplate long enough to, you know, take those photos? I go, yeah, absolutely, but I'm going to get the belt. And he said, what do you mean you're going to get the belt? I said, dude, if it was this easy to find the nameplate, how bad can it be? So I started doing some investigating, and there was a rumor about who had it, and I know I'm pretty resourceful, so I made sure that he got a FedEx on letterhead with an offer, and my phone rang 2 days later, and the next thing you know, I've got a shoebox of cash, and I have the big gold belt. And so then it was like, this is like the Indiana Jones feeling, like, oh my God, I can't believe I found this. So then it's like, can I find the original leather? Because I had the black leather on it from the end of WCW when they redid it in 99.
Oh, okay.
So then I thought, all right, well, who would have redone that? So I figure that out, go see him. Hypothetically, do you have the original leather? He goes, yeah, it's in that box. So I put together the original nameplate with the original belt and the original leather. And my buddy Dick Bourne said, dude, we got to make a book about this. So he wrote the big gold book. And it was so much fun, Josh, the rush of finding these belts and chasing these belts, that I was just off to the races, man. And so, you know, I brought 11 ring use belts with me this time. I think those are the creme de la creme of my collection. And now we share it with the world. So it's not just something that is fun to chase and find, but it's also fun to see people's excitement when they see it. And you don't have to just be necessarily a belt nerd to appreciate it, but just the history and the moments. You know, like these three pieces of metal or five pieces of metal and this one strip of leather represents so much of our fandom and our childhood, these famous segments and promos and matches. And I mean, we have the WrestleMania 17 world title in there. Like, most people think about Rock and Austin at WrestleMania 17 as being the high watermark, and that belt is in there. And what Hogan came to the ring playing air guitar on, like, that's in the other – that's crazy. Dusty Rhodes carried that belt. That's – unbelievable to me. We have a Terry Funk world title in there. The ECW world title is in the other room.
It's history. It's being able to literally hold a piece of history,
yes,
in your hands, to be able to take a picture with those belts and then look at those pictures from the past and just know, hey, something in these pictures is the same. That's,
yes,
it's an incredible feeling. The WCW belt, the when Big Gold traveled, yeah, north for a cup of coffee, the
Vader belt, the Ron
Vader belt,
Simmons,
yeah,
belt, yeah.
That's a one of one.
Yes,
they didn't make multiple of that. Just like the big gold. I mean, big gold. Obviously, they made some other ones that were on TV, whatever. But you know, something like the winged eagle. There were so many winged eagles used,
yeah,
over time. But some of these that you have are one of ones. These are, it's incredible. And I actually did not know that you pieced three pieces together to return it to that,
yeah,
Ric Flair championship. That's incredible.
Dude, it was such a fun ride. We did it 10 years ago this year. So I'm proud to say that I've been the reigning Big Gold champion for over 10 years straight now.
There you go.
And that's the most cherished piece of my collection. Like, if I had to, if the wheels come off, as I like to say, and I had to just keep one piece of wrestling memorabilia, it would be the Big Gold belt.
Well, shifting from that to a brand new championship.
Here it is.
We knew we were going to do a reveal for the Premier Streaming Network World Championship belt. I will say, next week, next Saturday, a week from today, live on Premier, we will have the Premier Streaming Network Wrestling Showcase. That is different than the Wrestling Showcase that took place a year ago tomorrow, next door in,
yes,
this building. That Wrestling Showcase event was a tournament to crown a champion. The intention was that it would be almost like a Super Bowl type annual champion. Matt Cardona was the inaugural champion. He's carried that championship with him all over the world. But then along the way, kind of started this streaming network.
Yeah.
And said, what if we... What I really wanted to do was I looked at indie wrestling and I looked at the fans of indie wrestling and I thought, why not create almost like a territory system for the digital age? And I say I, that was my team came up with that. We thought, what if we take all these promotions that we're signing to our network and we encourage them to work together? We encourage them to introduce their homegrown fans to these other promotions so that everybody can see it, because a lot of the wrestlers travel together. And then we thought, what if we kind of go a little bit back to that traveling champion mentality, where we can have that one premier men's champion and premier women's champion, and you never know. Are you going to see them at WrestlePro? Are you going to see them at House of Glory? Are you going to see them at Northeast Wrestling? Or I'll make an announcement right now, Maryland Championship Wrestling.
Hey now. It
just signed to come exclusively to Premier. We're very excited to have them. So it's an opportunity for those titles to be defended at different places. Next week, the championship matches are Matt Cardona is cashing in, so to speak, his showcase championship. And it's going to be the Indie God against the King of the Indies, some might say, Colt Cabana.
Oh, wow.
And one of them will walk out the inaugural world champion. I will say also we have Rachel Ellering versus Steph DeLander to crown the first ever premier women's champion.
That's big time.
As well. So we're really excited about that. And then every match on the card is represented by a different company. That's on our a different promotion that's on our network. So we are really excited. We'll run a commercial when this is all said and done. But before I let you go, because I know you have another stage show in like 30 seconds, there was nobody else I wanted to introduce this in front of.
I can't wait.
Than you. So here we go. Drum roll, please.
How about that? Dude, first off, the blue leather.
Yes.
Nice choice. Feels very old school tag team. How about the tip here? Did you ever? Let's show them. Let's show them just the tip.
Take the whole.
Just the tip.
Just for a second.
There it is. How about that, man?
Very nice.
I think that's called a stacked tip, and belt nerds like me, we really like that. Man, this is fantastic. Did Wildcat do this?
Wildcat Belts did this. Did an amazing job with it. There's a lot to the belt that is a lot of little Easter eggs on here that we're also really excited about. It was designed by a gentleman named LeJohn. He actually is the same guy who designed the Step and Repeat and a lot of our graphics. He designed the belt, and we are really, really proud of it. A lot of the designs, if you look at the championship that Matt Cardona has been carrying for a year, there are some similarities still. These lines in the background, the little the shields with the world in there, a lot of things, even the shape on top was taken from the Showcase Championship, kind of. The unofficial, the all into our AEW.
I love
will,
it.
Right? So,
I love the paint too. Paint on a belt.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, I will say, we won't get into too much detail, but I did show Conrad the championship last year that we had, the showcase one, and Conrad was very complimentary about it, the design. But the one thing he said was, he's like, maybe we would have put a little more paint on this. And it's funny.
It pops.
It's funny. It's about 2 weeks later. Cardona's at a show. He texts me a picture of like that somebody had taken of him. He's got the belt on. And the first thing I noticed was, you know what you can't see? You can't see the logo that says the Wrestling Showcase.
Yes.
Because there's not enough paint. He was right. So now there's a lot of paint. You can't miss this. Premier Streaming Network. We're very proud of it. There's also, like I said, little Easter eggs of in here. You can find a tablet. You can find a smartphone. All little things that are in here.
I didn't see that. Now I got to see this.
So we have, there's a TV.
Okay, I see the TV.
That's a smartphone.
I see. Oh, there's another.
There's the tablet. One of those tablet or smartphones.
Wow, Easter eggs.
Yeah, and that's then we even cool. have there, that's Roman numerals of the year that our company began.
Okay.
And those are actually the states that each of our owners were living in when we found the company.
Dude, that's super fun.
So, yeah,
and I like
really
the logo
cool.
plate. Very Jamar of you. That's
oh, yeah.
Cool, I like that.
Yeah, that right there.
You need that as like a tie tag. You need one of those.
Yeah?
Just the Premier logo. Just bam, ooh. Right there. Just right there on your tie.
I do need
go.
I need that for a collar stay as well.
Yeah. Maybe some lapel pins. The whole deal.
Nice. Well, hey,
I'm going to let a wrapper chain. Let's get Josh Chernoff a wrapper chain.
Can we do that?
I like that.
With this little, we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. We have one person who's really excited about that. And collar stays. Yeah. Well, we've talked about on air the collar situations I'm having here. But Conrad, thank you so much. We're actually going to bring Dave Sturgio up, who's going to be my broadcast partner next week. We're going to talk a little bit about the showcase. But before we go, do you have a minute, maybe 2 minutes?
Yeah, let's
for, just a couple questions?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who here has a question for Conrad? All right, thank you very much. Anybody have a question for Conrad Thompson? All right, here we go. There's a question right there. Hold on, we have a microphone coming to you. All right. Well, yeah, but we want everybody at home to hear. Yeah. Here we go. Here you go. You're good. You're good.
Thank you for the time. Conrad, you've really changed digital media for wrestling fans in terms of how they consume it as truly on the frontier of podcasting, as it was kind of like in the 2.0 stage. Where do you see podcasting go in terms of that direct-to-consumer type stuff, the over-the-top, from the star they like directly to the fan? Where does that go with podcasting and distributing content?
I mean, I think video continues to evolve. You know, for years and years, wherever we would go to podcast movement, we would be told that, you know, the agencies viewed YouTube separately than RSS. So it was a totally different animal. That has started to change over the last 12 months. So I think they sort of see it all as impressions now. And I think rather than they're being really divided, and that's really the way we all consume content. Once upon a time, most of us had either cable or DirecTV, and then we would do some on-demand. Now it feels like more and more of us have cut the cord, and it's almost all on demand. My dad still has DirecTV, but he uses an app for it. He doesn't have the box. So I think the technology always allows us to change. So I think most of the audio podcasts have now become video casts, and they're just looking for those impressions. But the video becoming more prominent in podcasting allows it to be more short form. So you'll see there's a lot of smart folks in the space like Sam Roberts. Not only does he do his long-form podcast, he does the long-form video, but then he repurposes it. He's got it for TikTok, and he's got it for Snapchat, and he's got it for Instagram Reels. And I just think, you know, creating that same piece of content but then super serving it is almost like little appetizers, micro doses, if you will, to all these different apps. I think that will continue to be the case. And, you know, you've seen like YouTube Shorts. I mean, I don't think that has really peaked yet, but I think YouTube Shorts are going to be a much, much bigger deal. And I was really excited to see some of the talent say, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. I think Stevie Richards is on to something. I think Maven's on to something. They've done really well on YouTube with just a new, fresh idea. And I hope that they can find a format that works long term, because I've seen a lot of like really fun wrestler podcasts just sort of peter out. And so whenever I have conversations with Hall of Famers or legends, and they'll say things like, you know, we don't want to do what you want to do. We want to do guests. I'm like, okay, that's great. I've done that before. It means you have to have 52 new guests a year, and they all have to be on the same schedule with you about recording. And sometimes life happens and then they can't, but now you've sold ads, so you've got to deliver a show. So just think about that. And I would advise you to put several of those in the can. So I think we've seen some of that evolve, because now, you know, guys like Stevie Richards can just say, hey, here's what went wrong. And Maven can say, hey, here's what my first contract looked like. And just being able to just sort of bet on themselves, that's the entrepreneurial spirit that created All In. So I'm all for it. But I think there will be more of that video content that will continue to evolve podcasting.
Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, one more.
One more over here.
One more? All right.
Hi, guys. My name is John. I'm a really big fan. Thank you. Big fan. I know you were recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I just wanted to know if you wanted to talk about that and just talk about that experience and 7 years ago to today, that journey and the culmination with the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you. That's a great question. I was thrilled to have the honor to go. I couldn't believe that they wanted to put me in the Wrestling Hall of Fame or the Gordon Solie Award. My goodness, I've called exactly one match, and it was for the NWA 2 years ago. So I don't deserve that, to know that it was Gordon Solie, Jim Ross, and then myself. But Mr. Briscoe said, well, the voting was unanimous, and you have to do this. And I said, okay, all right, I'll be there. But then the pressure was really on when they come to me the day of, and Bruce Pritchard's there, and they come over and say, now, Bruce, you're going to induct him? I just want to make sure you're still game for that. And Bruce says, yeah, I came all this way. I'm doing it. And he goes, okay, you guys are going on last. And I'm like, that is not what I wanted to do at all. Like, these are real professional wrestling legends who've sacrificed their bodies. And I just, you know, told penis jokes with Tony Schiavone into a microphone. It's not the same thing. But it was my great honor to be there, and I can't believe it happened, but we're going to do all we can to grow it. I didn't realize until I was there that the NWA was formed just a couple of blocks away from there. Like the hotel where all these legends got together in 1948 and created organized wrestling, and the National Wrestling Alliance was created just like a couple of blocks up. And I thought, man, that's so cool. And then to go through the Dan Gable Museum and see all that they have there, like we're going to be a much bigger part of that next year. I want to take my collection up there. I want to help blow that thing up. I think there's a big opportunity to shine a spotlight, pardon the pun, on that Hall of Fame. And I want to do my part to help and sort of preserve wrestling history as best I can.
Awesome. And thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to shine that spotlight on you, here with a very special live edition of Spotlight Series. Stay here. We're not going anywhere. Conrad's going to exit. I'm going to stand up, shake his hand. We'll take a picture.
All right.
And then Dave Sturgio is going to try and fill these shoes. So good luck, Dave.
Thanks, everybody.
But everybody, Conrad Thompson. All right. Hey, sit down. Sit down. What are you? Just because the man stand up on stage here, do you see how many people left the moment you stepped onto the stage, the people who got up and left? Guys, we're going to have fun.
Can't see past the second row, so as long as this is full, we're good.
This is fine. All right. I think we've got 9 minutes to kill.
That is gorgeous.
We want to talk a little bit about – I figured we would take this time to talk about the wrestling showcase that's coming up, but also if there are any questions about Premier, any questions about what we're doing with the showcase next week. One thing that I will tell you is if we can throw that maybe we can get it on the screen. Can we get the promo code up here on the screen?
Sure can. Watch this. And bang. And bang.
There it is.
Second time.
This promo code is what we're giving to everybody who has ordered. And for those of you who are sitting here right now.
That's true. I'm so sorry, Austin. I'm sorry. I don't even know if that was you, but I'm assuming it was.
That was Austin.
It definitely was.
Yes. That was Austin Gunn, everybody. So 2 free months of Premier Plus. If you sign up, you use this code. Included in those 2 free months is next weekend's wrestling showcase. So we are not giving you some sort of hard sell to check this out. We are giving it to you for free. And the reason we are giving it to you for free is because what the showcase is, it is a giant, to us, it's a giant commercial for these promotions. We know that there is so much wrestling out there for you guys to absorb. There's sometimes too much wrestling out there for you to be able to take in a week or in a month. So which is why we gave you 2 months. Said give you some time, but the showcase is an opportunity for all of you to be able to get. Each match will be representing a different promotion, whether it's a WrestlePro, whether it's Battlefield Pro Wrestling, that's Alpha Junior's promotion, whether it's House of Glory Wrestling, Catalyst Wrestling. There's so many more. We even have Middle Kingdom Wrestling, which is coming over from China. WrestlePro Alaska.
That girl. There we go.
There you are. So CZW will be there as well. We have their entire library. If you're looking for some old school John Moxley and some Nick Gage in his heyday, go check that out.
The pain tolerance of those guys is just a little
unbelievable. But we wanted to give that to you and all of you watching at home for free, because we want you to look at these promotions and see what they have to offer and see how hard all of these wrestlers are working. Because you also never know. You come here and you see all these stars. I remember Austin Gunn, who decided to. There he is. Bang, Austin, bang. Do you remember the first StarCast? Now he's being quiet.
He was 6.
The very first. How more specific? It was the one that
StarCast
came before StarCast
1.
2. So it was right before All In, and I had an opportunity. It was one of the first things that I did, not as a wrestler, but on the microphone. Did somebody give a microphone?
Yes, I have a microphone.
Oh, all right.
I don't need one, but I have one.
I got to interview you and your dad before you had your match at All In.
Let's leave him out of this, okay?
All right. Back when you guys were close. when he was riding your coattails. You know?
Yeah.
Trying to get a you run. Really catered to the crowd,
but,
huh?
But I just remember, you know, Austin, I'd never seen him wrestle. He was just brand new breaking into the business. And now, 5 years later, he is... I mean, he's
a one-time AEW tag team champ.
And one of the biggest stars in AEW.
The MVP of the pandemic era.
Here I am trying to put him over. And,
He will do that himself.
Of all time.
There it is.
Yes, so...
Anymore?
Reality TV show star.
There it is. Go on.
Rapper.
Don't stop now.
Movie star.
Ooh. What?
What movie?
You should have started that at the beginning. I think that's the end of the list.
There we go. Thank you, Austin. Go back to signing.
All right, thank you.
But
he's signing over there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what we want you to be able to see with the showcase is there's going to be so many young stars. There will also be established Homicide is going to be there. Colby Carino will be wrestling there. Of course, we talked about Matt Cardona, Colt Cabana, Steph DeLander, Rachel Ellering. But... there are going to be so many stars there, like a Casey Navarro, who hasn't even. I mean, I know he has not scratched the surface.
He has got a future ahead of that kid, man. I remember him. His first day in the gym, he was smaller than you, and that's small. And I'm telling you, the experience that he's caught on very quickly. He's got a lot of great mentors, the Anthony Bones of the world. Like, there's a lot of people that have brought him, Danny Moff. Guys like that have helped him and propelled him. I saw him yesterday throw out a first pitch at a baseball game. Like, you're in the business for, like, a cup of coffee, and you're throwing out first pitches. The ceiling for that kid is very high.
Man, and just pivoting off of your jealousy of him, but that's what you guys are going to get to see is a guy like a Casey Navarro who 5 years from now, I would put money down on the fact that he is going to be on worldwide television. He is going to be a major star. And so not only do you get all the libraries of the stars of today when they were coming up, but you get to now you have a front seat for that with Premier. And we're really proud of that. And we're really appreciative of all of you who tune in and check that out and who have tuned in. For this, did I kill enough time?
I don't know, but you can go check out WrestlePro, WrestlePro Alaska. WrestlePro goes live on September 17th, and then October, November. Go check those guys out.
The Acclaimed is going to be there.
The Acclaimed is going to be there. The Iron Savages are going to be there. There's just the list goes on and on. A great stack card. WrestlePro always puts on a very good show.
My personal friend Danny Moff.
Your personal friend. Yeah. Okay. Do you have his wrestling boots? He gave me his wrestling boots.
He gave me a kiss.
You win.
On my forehead.
You win. Oh.
On worldwide.
Actually, I got kicked in the face.
You got kicked in the face, and he kissed me on the head.
Yeah.
Well, we were both very uncomfortable.
You were uncomfortable. I was on my... I digress. I'm not...
Yeah, no, he got beat up.
Go check out WrestlePro's past events. You can see me get my ass kicked on.
Yeah, no, it was so good.
No, it wasn't.
No, I enjoyed it. It was great.
Broadcaster, folks.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Are you?
I am.
Are they wrapping us up? Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
They're wrapping us up?
Yeah. Nori said, do you rap? If you want to rap, you can rap. Man. Go for it.
If only I owned this network, then maybe I'd be able to
spend the place. Time.
No, nobody wants that. Nope. I'm getting word now from one of our everybody has asked for a refund. Everyone. And canceled all of their subscriptions. Okay.
That 2 months free just became free forever. Yes.
All right. Well, I apologize, everybody. But hey, thank you guys so much. Thanks for hanging out here.
Absolutely.
Check out the Wrestling Showcase next Saturday. Heart right back.
Wow. Number one fan.
You may
right
have been trying to send that to him, but I'm sending this back to you.
That was for me, man.
No, I intercepted it, Dave.
You, Dion? No, bro. No. No.
Anyway.
Somebody send me a heart. Somebody.
All right. We're wrapping it up. Stay tuned for more great content here. On stage and over on the AEW stage at StarCast 6 on Premiere.